Welcome to The Pulpit, the sermon podcast of Calvary Moravian Church. My name is Pastor Chaz Snyder, and I hope you'll use this recording to grow deeper in God's Word and help you on your spiritual journey.
Our first Old Testament lesson is from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 through 44. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing Elisha 20 loaves of barley bread baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain. "Give it to the people to eat," Elisha said. "How can I set this before 100 men?" his servant asked. But Elisha answered, "Give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says. They will eat and have some left over." Then he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. Our second Old Testament lesson is from Psalm 145, verses 10 through 18. "All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel lesson is from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near, and when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to each as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Jesus walks on water. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Most generous God, you give us what we need. You satisfy our desire in each and every season of life. So God, grant each of us that we may be strengthened through your Spirit, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that you may accomplish within us far more than we can ask or imagine. So God of abundance, you open your hand and give us what is needed. And so we come praying for the family of nations, the families in our communities, and our own families. We pray that we all may live together in peace, in harmony. Bring peace where discord is sown. And God, we pray for our churches and our communities, that we may find ways of cooperating together. God, we come praying for care of the earth, that we will take care of what has been stewarded to us. And God, we come praying for those who are in need, for you answer the call when we cry out to you. So God, use us to answer the cries of the hungry. And God, we come praying for the victims of war and violence, for orphans, mothers, and men who live on the streets, and for all of those who are in need. We lift them up to you. For we know you have a desire to gather up those who are lost. So use us to bring people together in your name. For you are just in your ways and you are kind in your doings. And God, we come praying for the sick, for those who are in need of healing, both physically, mentally, or emotionally, those who are close to us who are in need of healing. May they feel your presence in their lives. So Christ, dwell in our hearts this morning through faith. May we know that we are rooted and grounded in your love. When we are caught up in the storms of life, come to us, calm our fears, and help us reach that place of peace. And we pray this through the power of the Holy Spirit and in the love of Christ. Amen. When I was in high school, I took a mission trip to the mountains of Nicaragua. And after a long day of travel, each of us went to stay at the home of a local family in the village that we would spend the week working in. We got there about dinner time, so one of the first things that we did was eat together. And one of the things that I remember most was how warm and hospitable they were to me. They took extra care in preparing their food for that night. They took extra time to make sure I was comfortable and felt at home in their home. And they cooked a special meal for me that evening that was delicious. But one of the most meaningful and gracious acts, I think, more than the meal itself, was the care that they provided, the hospitality that they provided. And I think this is a gift that we can give each other that is quite profound. We can give a meal for someone. We can provide it in a way that is not just meeting the physical nourishment, but the emotional and the spiritual nourishment of sharing a meal together. It's a way of showing care, compassion, and support for someone. It's a way of meeting a tangible need while also offering a personal connection. Because food is a necessity of life, but preparing it and serving it with kindness, with intention, can elevate food to be an act of love to someone. to recognize another's hunger and to seek to meet it is a way to demonstrate compassion and care, something that attends to the heart and the soul as well as the body. You see, providing someone with a caring meal nourishes the entire person. I bring this up and mention this because in the story that we read today, we find a similar situation. We find the prophet Elijah from our scripture reading today. And we're going to take a look at the story of Elijah in Psalm 145 as we continue our sermon series looking at the prophets and the psalm text from the lectionary. You see, Elisha had been busy in the work of tending to God's people. If we go back a little bit earlier from the verses that we read this morning in 2 Kings chapter 2, we find that Elisha is taking over the prophetic duties of his mentor Elijah. Elijah had mentored and taught Elisha, and Elijah's own work, his own life, and his own work of nourishing Elisha's growth as a prophet and leader. And so they find themselves in these final moments together when Elijah asks Elisha what he can do for him before he departs and hands things over. And Elisha asked for something interesting. He asked for a double portion of his mentor's anointing. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 says this. Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." What's going on here is a way for Elisha to ask for Elijah's blessing. He's asking that his mentor bless him and bless the work that he is about to go do as a prophet. And to have the support of a mentor as he begins his time as a prophet. Now this is a kind of inheritance that will feed Elisha's own spiritual life. See, the generosity of Elijah becomes clear in Elijah's own actions in 2 Kings chapter 4. And here we find that Elisha is with what the scriptures call a prophetic guild. Some translations call this a company of prophets. Think of it like a whole bunch of prophets together learning how to be prophets to the nation of Israel. And they're now learning the wisdom from Elijah. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, it highlights Elisha's movements through these different towns across the country. And he has encounters with various people. He visits a widow with two children. He visits a wealthy woman. He visits this company of prophets. And what we see is that every time he's going around to visit these people, there's some kind of need that they all have. They all have some kind of need. Some are in debt. Some have health needs. Some have the need for food and sustenance. There are some kind of conditions of crisis for all of the people that Elisha is going to meet. Some kind of immediate response. And Elisha doesn't have the resources on hand to meet the needs of the people that he comes across. But what he does have is a powerful faith and witness that compels people to seek his counsel in times of need. The people in need that he comes into contact with, they confide in him because he's trustworthy, because he demonstrates a consistent and confident response to the situations of the people that he encounters. He's able to show them care. He's able to show them compassion. You see, what is also significant is that he has a deep relationship with these people that he helps. He seems to care for them deeply. And what we learn here is that being a prophet is more than just the words that he declares. It's more than just crying out to the people, telling them what they need to do. But it's also about having compassion, about having compassion on those that he encounters. Even if he can't meet their needs immediately, he has deep compassion on their circumstances. And we can read earlier in chapter 4 that he's acquainted with the widow's late husband that he encounters. We find that he has the long-standing relationship with the wealthy woman and her family that he encounters. We learn that he is a mentor to this company of prophets. What we learn from the story of Elisha as a prophet is that his work is about having connection to the people that he serves, about having connection to the people that he encounters. It's about a connection more than it is about meeting the needs right away. He has compassion as well. Compassion on those he comes into contact with. And this suggests that part of the work of God, part of God's provision for each of us, is not just our material needs, although those are very important. There's also a relational need, and those have to go hand in hand. God is concerned about our whole person, both our emotional and our material needs. And if we turn to Psalm 145, this idea might come home for us a little bit. This psalm offers praise to God, who lifts up the falling and the bowed down. You see, this psalm talks about God, who is a source of provision and encouragement. And it's not the kind of praise that simply offers a thanks for fulfilling an immediate need. It's not just a thank you and moving on. Rather, it's a kind of praise that speaks to the encompassing spirit of generosity, the totality of God's care for us, the kind of care and compassion and connection that goes all the way down to our soul. This is the kind of relationship that God wants to have with God's people. It's what the prophet is called to do in Elisha's case. The kind of relationship that Elijah expressed to those that he saw as he was traveling around as a prophet, to those he made contact and connection with on his journey. We see this expressed in Psalm 145 in verses 14 and 15. It says this: "The Lord upholds all those who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing." See, this open hand that this psalm speaks of, it speaks of the relationship that God shares with God's people, a relationship of continued support. You see, this miraculous provision that this verse from 2 Kings chapter 4 talks about, it speaks of both modest means and confident faith. In these verses, a man comes to Elijah with an offering. Verse 42 from 2 Kings. A man came to bring food for the first fruits to the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elijah said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." See, this man brings food, and Elijah directs him to give it out to the people. And he speaks confidently, asserting that God will provide what has been promised. But not just provision, but abundance. See, what is clear in these verses is that this isn't enough food for the people that need to be fed. Just like the passage of Jesus feeding the crowd, there's not enough food to go around. But in the midst of this, God still provides. As the verses continue, But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before the Lord. They ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord. There may not have been enough, they thought, but God still provided. This is the message that we can take away from this story and from the psalm. God has a desire to provide. Not just a desire to provide for our material needs, but the deep needs of our soul too. Our needs for care, compassion, and connection. That's what my meal with that Nicaraguan family felt like. I was tired. I was hungry after a long day of travel. But it was not just the need of my physical hunger and my need for rest that was met. It was the deep need of my soul, too. It met a deeper need than just a meal. The need to find connection in a foreign place. A fellow brother and sister in Christ to comfort me. The comfort and compassion that was shown to me then was deeply nourishing, perhaps more so than the meal itself. See, what is beautiful in this passage is that we learn that God works through the gifts of others and magnifies those gifts even bigger than we could possibly imagine. The person who gave the food in 2 Kings knew that it wasn't enough to feed the people that was needed. He knew that it was going to fall short. But he gave it anyway, and God still provided. We can see that faith at work. That with faith, God can provide much. You see, sometimes what we need is to trust that God will put the people around us when we need them. That God will put the people in our lives when we need them. I'm reminding of a saying I once heard from another pastor. When God wants to bless you, it isn't with things, but it's with people. See, Elisha is a model of that kind of provision. The blessing that comes in the form of faithful people who lead the way with confidence and boldness. His relationship with God makes him a conduit for God's desire to bless and sustain people. God works through Elijah, and God can work through us too. And we can participate in God's abundant generosity. We can become the kind of people who facilitate that kind of giving through our very lives and being. Yes, we need the basics of life, food, shelter, health. But we also require relationships that create community, that ensure that we are nourished as whole persons. This is the prophetic witness that Elisha offers, one that models adapting to the immediate human needs and caring for humans through relationships. So may we be like Elisha and act as a conduit for God. May we help to meet the immediate needs of our brothers and sisters around us, as well as their deep spiritual needs. And may we trust that God is there, waiting with provisions of abundance, with compassion, with care, and with connection. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the example of Elisha, for showing him how to bring others closer to you. May we follow in his example as we seek to meet the needs of those around us. God, help us to share abundantly so that many can feel your closeness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.